Hello, Denny. How are you?
That was a beautiful setup, you know.
Yeah, I tried. I tried and failed, which is my fault. All right, let's now have a listen, actually, to you speaking to Nathan Cleary.
Do you think you're playing this week?
Well, that's the plan. I don't want to 100% commit to that. I still got a few final boxes to tick, but it's coming along nicely.
Did you have a setback with it? I mean, there was reports that you might have, you know, gone too hard, or you might have had something go on.
No, it was just probably just the healing process took a little bit longer than I originally thought.
Michael Maguire has been in touch.
Madge, what's he been? What did he say to you?
No, I've just been talking about you know, what he wants and what his sort of vision is for the team going forward. And
did he ask what you want?
Nah, not so much me. He's just sort of saying like what he wants and what his vision is.
Well, there you go, Denny. That's you speaking with Nathan Cleary. What else came out of it?
the old footy show days where Danny'd be sitting there thrown to a package or something, it just wouldn't happen. look, Nathan was actually, he's become the face of Rexona. He's just signed a really big money deal, and we were there when he was filming an ad, and it's just part of the expanding superstar that he is. And yeah, the hammy's the big issue with him, but the other thing is the way that the team has sort of taken the James Fisher-Harris news, and I put it to him that is this, you know, how many more blows like this can Penrith take? Because I mean, we've seen some massive ones in recent times. Obviously, the Burtons, the Crichtons, the kickouts, and Coruscant. And every time it happens, you think that, you know, Penrith aren't going to be able to return from where they're at. But you know, this one, Fisher-Harris is there. Their forward leader. It came a little bit sort of out of the blue, didn't it? And Nathan is convinced that he wouldn't tell me the players that they've got in their system who are going to be coming up through the ranks and can, you know, eventually take something of the place of Fisher-Harris. They'll never probably fill his shoes properly, but he's confident that within their ranks there are some very, very promising front rowers. And also, I guess that means that they don't have to chase a Stefano as hard as, you know, many people think they might have to, but he's convinced they're not going to crumble. But Loz, you've been part of a dynasty and a team that has superstars. I don't remember you guys losing as many players and having to cope with that like Penrith are.
Yeah, we did. We lost, I think it was the end of 91. So we lost Lazarus, Todd, Barnhill,
yep.
Gaffey, Wayne Collins, I think there's Paul Martins, there's Ivan Hendricks.
Largely, like, it was you, Sticky, Clyde, you know, you stuck to Walters, he was there. You had that. I don't know, they've lost some. I mean, I know, disrespect to any of the blokes you mentioned, particularly the Glenn Lazarus, but they just keep on taking these massive.
Oh, they do. I totally agree with you there, Denny. I think what they've done has been magnificent. And who's to doubt that they can't replace Fisher-Harris, because they've seemed to replace everyone else that's left. And they've done an admirable job, all the players that have stepped up. But it has to take. Has to take its toll at some point.
We keep thinking that. Like I thought when they lost Appy, it would be massive, you know?
Yeah, oh, so did I. So did I.
I thought that's going to really disrupt what they do. But Mitch Kenny's he's become a real star of the game, hasn't he? And they've adapted, he's adapted. And what Nathan was talking about was the system they have in place there that allows people to slot in and do that kind of job. And it's so impressive, isn't it? I mean, we look for a lot of negatives in the game, but when you see what Penrith are doing and the way they cope, it can't go on forever. Yeah, I remember your era, and you've got the sense that it would stop eventually. But right now, it's going to take a hell of a good team to beat them.
And Danny, you got some breaking news on Schuster.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about what is. He's going to have a payout from Manly. And the widely sort of reported figure has been around $600,000 for the contract to be terminated and so he can move on. I've been told it's actually closer to $1 million. So Manly got to pay him $1 million to leave his deal and move off to another club. And that $1 million will all go in the cap, from what I'm told. So it'll be spread over a number of years. I believe that the bulk of it will be in the current deal that he's got. And then it'll be, I think it's been reported, around $200,000 a year for the remaining 3 years. So it's significant. I can't imagine Manly happy about having to fork out $1 million for, largely, not getting any return on it. However, in a lot of ways, it shows that, we hear about players all the time, being shipped off by clubs and being cut and not being cared for. So there's a level of care there for Manly, but it's a significant cap, impingement for them, isn't it?
Mm. What do you make of the Eels' performance last week and Brad Arthur's comments after the game about a part-time footy team? And there's now talks about Brad Arthur's future, people saying, is he the right man to lead them forward? It seems to pop up every year when Parramatta go through a bit of a tough spot.
Well, look, Brad Arthur's got some inbuilt enemies around the place, and I think he knows that, and I think people know what I'm talking about. But the way he reacted shows that he's almost not without ideas, but he's obviously at the end of his rope in a lot of ways, isn't he? Like, he's to say that about his players, he's now put it fairly and squarely back on them. He will be looking for them to lead themselves out of this mess they're in at the moment, and I think he's made that pretty clear to them. There was a meeting, I believe, yesterday or in the last 48 hours, where a lot of this was discussed. And from what I've been told, the players was put a lot onto the players to lead that discussion, and it's quite significant, Laurie, that today Parramatta have a media opportunity, and they're putting their leadership group up to answer the questions. So I expect some good answers from the players today. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to find out exactly how they're feeling about the situation. And is Brad under pressure? For sure, yeah. Yep, no doubt. He's definitely under pressure. There is no question of that. Is it all his fault? No way. Not a chance. But, in these situations, it's always the coach who's in the firing line. And the feeling I get from the Parramatta club, having talked to people around there, is that this is a very, very big week for Brad Arthur. Because he's put it on the players. He's obviously, when a coach does that, I mean, you guys have got more experience of what coaches do than I do, but when a coach does that, it's usually for he's looking for an answer. And if they don't get an answer against Manly, I think it could be some very interesting times there.
Well, it's all or nothing when you put it on the players like that. And it's not so much about the win, it's about the competitive nature of the team. It's about how they fight and scrap and just play for 80 minutes. You want to win, but it's about how they go about performing. And after the week you've had and the challenge that he's put to them, if they don't, well, then you've got to say, well, the message didn't get through.
Yeah, but well, he's looking for a response, isn't he?
Yep, most definitely is.
For a reaction. I mean, have you been in that situation where coaches, not so much throwing the team under the bus, but just put it back onto the team in that way? And I'd like to know whether players feel a responsibility in that situation.
Yeah, I can't remember as a team. I can certainly remember the coach or Tim Sheens pulling me aside and going, mate, we need you. You're gonna lead this week. Your performances haven't been great, and I'm expecting you to produce something this weekend and just compete as hard as you can and try to inspire. So I've had those conversations as an individual, but I can't, and I'm sure it would have happened as a group, but I'm sure he would have picked people out from the group.
But this is very
put
public.
It on them.
This is very public, right? So this is basically the coach, Brad Arthur, saying, are you all in with me?
Yep.
Or are you not?
And, and that's exactly what it is.
It's out there for everyone to see.
And look, they're not, they haven't got an easy game. It's Manly, isn't it? From memory.
Yep, Manly.
Away.
Yeah, and that's, they beat Manly, wasn't it, just a few weeks ago?
Yeah, they did. But their record at Combank compared to away at the moment is just poles apart.
Yeah. And it's going to be tough, but I think it's all about the effort and the performance this weekend. It's all about that grit and competing. The way they capitulated in the second half was unacceptable.
That's unheard of.
Yeah. Well, they were 10-4
eight,
up.
8-4 it was at half-time.
8-4 at half-time. So to give away a second half like that is unacceptable, and you need a response. And if anyone's going to bring the best out of them, it will be Manly this weekend. What about Trent Robinson, Denny, and I saw the article on in Sunday's paper, and he is one of the genuine good guys of the game, and everyone loves his thoughts on all things rugby league, but they haven't started the year as well as everyone would have thought. I mean, is he under pressure, or what's happening there at the Roosters if they lose this weekend against the Dragons? Like, I know he's bought himself some time, you know, winning three competitions, but a lot of text messages we receive...
Oh, Friday. It's changing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of strong about whether he's the right man.
Yeah, look, first of all, referring to that article I wrote, it was largely around the whole Michael Jennings situation, which is quite an inflammatory topic. And there's no doubt that Trent has been had distractions over the last few months. He had obviously the Spencer Lenu thing, which was massive. The Michael Jennings thing is a big talking point as well. Joey Manu's decided to leave. Suali is going. They've had, you know, concussion stuff. They've had Teddy's form question. And yeah, there is no question that Trent Robinson is feeling all of that. At his core, Trent Robinson is a very decent human being and a good bloke. There's no question he can
coach.
Very
much so.
Yeah. Is he under pressure? I think that Nick Politis, who makes, let's face it, he makes a lot of the, I think he makes pretty much all the calls at that club. I know there's a board, but you know, usually what Nick says goes, right? And Nick Politis is firmly in Trent Robinson. And whether or not the entire club is, or everybody around the club is, that may be debatable. But when it comes to the decision maker and the man who has basically said that Robinson's got the job for as long as he wants, he's the one making those calls. The lightest wants him there. So I also think Laurie was very critical of the Roosters last year. Given their roster, they only just really sort of limped into the finals. They didn't really ever look like being the team that should win the comp, which is, to me, I know a lot of people say their roster's overrated. I think it's an excellent roster. And it's one that, it's in the top four or five rosters for sure in the comp, if not in the conversation for the best roster in the comp. So they're not getting the results that their roster shows they should be getting. There are circumstances, obviously, and injury and everything else that happens. But is he under pressure? Last time I checked, no, not under pressure. If they miss the finals a couple of years in a row, that's when pressure is, or if and when, I guess, Nick Politis one day decides to step aside, then maybe Robinson loses his greatest ally. But he has won three comps. Let's not forget that. Mm. That's three comps. That's a remarkable record. Remarkable. Puts him in the category of, you know, our great coaches. But, you know, there's always people on your text line who want to criticise him, saying that, you know, he's got it all. I understand where they're coming from. I understand that people are frustrated, given the quality of player.
And Danny, I had the pleasure of bumping into Cameron Ciraldo between seasons, the end of last season. Had a good chat with him about coaching. He was there was real substance.
You straightened him out, did you, Mossy? You put him on the right track.
Well, mate, do you want me to take some credit?
Yeah, take the credit.
Take the credit, Mossy. Take the credit.
Here's your chance.
It doesn't matter what code it is, what shape the ball is. But yeah, no, he was very impressive to talk to. He had real substance behind what he was saying, and he was convinced that this season would be much, much better. On the rise in his second season, what would you say?
Well, I think you look. I think an indication of where the Bulldogs are at. They're not sort of flying high on the table by any stretch. They probably could have had a win over Melbourne if they were slightly better. And, you know, I get all that, but I think their defence has improved a lot. And if you look at the teams who've played the same number of games as they have, and look at what their points they're letting in, it's very competitive. I think it's, you know, there's only one or two teams that might have a better defensive record if you take into account the number of games they've played. So that, you know, they say defence is an attitude, and, you know, there are a lot of people wanting to rip into Cameron Ciraldo for coaching methods and that he's too tough and all that sort of stuff. Remember all that talk? Where's that talk now? You know, people have stopped saying that because they're starting to, you know, they've got players now in that club who have bought into what Cameron Ciraldo requires in terms of resilience and understanding defence. And largely, let's not forget, largely he's a coach who has made his name on good defensive systems. And I mean, I'm not the X's and O's guy. I don't pretend to have the expertise of a Laurie or people who played the game. But just looking at it, when you see them play, Laurie, you see them play with a different attitude, don't you, now? And it's,
oh, they're a completely different side to last year, Denny. In fact, I thought this year, if they won 7-8 games, that was a good season for them.
They should get that.
I'm thinking they'll probably win more. Yep. And they've improved out of sight every week.
They can score points a bit now, too.
Yeah, no, their attack looks fluent, and defensively, they are doing everything a lot quicker. Their contact is a lot better. Their line speed's better. They're hanging in there in games. They've had adversity through the middle. Because I thought they'd be blown apart by teams with big forward packs, but they haven't. You know,
that's the interesting part, isn't it?
Most definitely. And even on the weekend, I thought Newcastle, when Patolo went off early, I just said, oh, they'll get exposed here in the middle, because I thought they were a bit short with the big men, and they had
Newcastle got a good pack.
Yeah, they have, and they had like Haywood on, they had Morin on, and Reid Marnie all at the same time playing through the middle, and I just thought, oh, geez, that's too small. Newcastle here will just run straight through them, but they were hungry, they were competitive, and they were playing well above their weight and just putting their body on the line and competing. And as a coach, you'd be proud of that.
Whether that can last a whole season, because you can give away size and muscle for periods of time and you can be up for it, but there probably are going to be some spots in the season where that impacts them. That's going to be the key to how their season is judged, I guess, is whether they can ride through those instances where they are well down on strength. But I think they're punching above their weight. I think that, you know, they're bagged for signing utility players, but they're finding their feet. I mean, look, Drew Hutchison is not going to play halfback at every club in Sydney, is he? But he's doing a good job for Canterbury. And whether he does that job all season, I'm not sure. He's not really playing like a traditional halfback, because he's probably not. I feel like he's still doing a job for them. And then they bring on, you know, at points as well, who can do things. And I think the player who stood out to me at the Dogs is Kurt Mann, and he's injured at the moment. But he plays like their, almost like their halfback in a lot of ways when he plays on the field. And he's out, and Preston's out. And look, I think that they are showing some good signs. And I'm not saying they're going to be world beaters, but they've definitely displayed an attitude that
I think there are at least another half a dozen clubs in the game who would like to have that attitude going at their club right now.
Thank you, Denny.
Appreciate it.